says, where two or more are gathered together, you'll be right there. You really do not care who we are, how we are. You made the world and everything in it. Lord, if it pleases you this morning, there will be a deposit of wisdom that will transform our lives. Last week, you gave us the word that says your truth shall be our shield and our buckler. Father, I pray that you will send forth your truth this morning to comfort the brokenhearted, to give beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We pray, God, that everyone in this place will be a seed of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to glorify your name. We thank you, Father, for this morning. This hour, Lord, we do not share chemistry or physics or politics or world affairs. We speak the everlasting, the unending word of the living God. He said the heavens will pass away, governments will come and go, but your word will abide forevermore. And it's been proven true. Father, we humble ourselves, Lord. We humble ourselves. There's no way to perfectly express your word, Lord. But Father, they are new every morning. Speak to us, O Lord. Give to us this Sunday our daily bread. We thank you, Lord. You have used men before. Use us. Use every teacher, the children's teacher, everybody going to handle your word this morning. Please use us to express your love and your will to your people. We ask all of this in no other name but in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And the children are excused to go to their churches. Welcome back, folks who went and are back. Those who went to Nigeria and are back. Those of you who have not done your own fasting and praying, we were keeping the bulletin for you. It's there. So tomorrow is Monday. Start your own. It's 7 days. People think they can just escape when it's time for fasting. The bulletin is there. Sister Folake conscientiously collected it back so that you meet it there. And the church will be open every day at 7. You must come and close by yourself. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'd like to welcome my brother-in-law, Jimmy, also. It's nice to have you. Always nice. I think you already preached, Stacy, but I do have to preach, right? Okay. All right. We thank the Lord for keeping... Dr. Babs! Dr. Babs! Welcome back. Well, I'm just seeing you. You're here in the spirit. We'd like to see you in person as well. I cannot shake and hug spirit. It's nice to see you. Who has went away and just came back? Ah, me too. Oh, you guys don't have to go to that. Oh, wow, you're all grown now. Okay, that's good. We bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So last week we started talking about one word that God has given to us for the year, given to me. Who remembers what the word is from last week's sermon? Abide in me. Last week, we were still doing fasting and praying. Thank you, Auntie Folake. Psalm 91. That he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Because we had been fasting and praying, and New Covenant Church being New Covenant Church, we fast and pray, not that we may have money. We already do. I mean, everybody in this, I think we pray that, give me job, give me prosperity, all of that prayer, we prayed them several years ago. God has done wonderful things to us. There's nobody in this church that is in need. He has provided for us, and we're able to, and we're blessing people in other places in this church. We thank God for that. New Covenant Church, being New Covenant Church, we are fasting that we may know the Lord more. But when we were looking at the bulletin, it had occurred to me that if you flip back, actually, I looked at our prayer and fasting bulletin for years before, since I think I started looking around 2010. It's always similar. I remember there was a particular year that Brother Bumi had said, we have been encircling this mountain long enough, it's time to take it. And we ended the year and we did not take it. So I was asking Lord, why? Why? The Isaiah 54, thereabout, 58, 54 passage that we had been reading also talks about the kind of fast that the Lord would want from us. And we talked about that. But the Lord finally gave a word that the reason we have not been able to do much as Christians, we fast in January, and by February we're back to the normal routine of things. We feel tired, exhausted. It's because although we fast and pray, we go to God's secret place, but we do not dwell. We soon leave. We start the year by the grace of God, seeking the face of the Lord, but we remove ourselves from His presence and we begin to rely on the methods that are already familiar to us. Our jobs take over, take precedence, priority over prayers. We leave our home several times without consulting with the Most High God. Also, although the book of James said we should not dare even travel or even plan to travel without saying if it's in the will of God. And the Lord had been revealing to us that the problem we have is not that He does not love us. It's not that we do not fast. It's not that we do not pray. It's because we do not dwell in His secret place. We remove ourselves quickly from His secret place. We taste and we see that the Lord is good, but we do not abide in His presence. So Psalm 91 says to us, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. And the Lord was saying, look, you can fast for 40 days. You can make it biri-biri. You can make it waterless. You can do coffee fast. You can do... But how long will you fast and see that this does not work? In fact, there was a year that the Lord told me, I was saying, Lord, why do I feel so spiritual when I'm fasting? And then by the end of January, I feel like my normal self. The usual struggles just kicking. I said, well, because what was really happening when you were fasting is that you were low on calories. You thought it was spirituality. It's just, you know, a deficiency in calories. You didn't have the energy. If someone, you know, provoked you, you didn't have the strength. But Lord, how do I abide in you then? And the Lord said, what were you doing during prayer and fasting? How did it start? Although your body was fighting you, during prayer and fasting, you devoted yourself to being in the temple of the Most High, to inquiring after me, to dwelling in my presence. You did everything by prayer. Do that, not for 7 days, but for every day. I think the Lord has sent Brother Michael here to us, and he's made a statement. It just occurred to me. He said, if you can be holy for 1 day, is it possible to be holy for 3 hours? Is it possible to be holy for 1 hour? For 1 hour not to get mad at anybody? For 1 hour not to commit any sin? Is it possible? Is it possible? Is it possible? Is it possible? It's not, I'm not being rhetorical there. I mean, is it? Is it? And Brother Mike said, if it's possible to do it for 1 hour, it's possible to do it for 1 day. If it's possible to do it for 1 day, it's possible to do it for 3 days. If it's possible to do 3 days with determination, you can do 7 days. And by prayer and fasting, we do 7 days. I think the Redeemed Church does 40 or 30 days. Right? Some do 40 days. If it's possible to be holy for 1 month, it's possible to be holy for 1 year. Then, let's open to Psalm 91 again. Okay, well, we already opened it. This was David. David was a king. He was a man that had no time for anything. The most in my opinion, probably apart from his son, the most brilliant poet and academic that ever lived. This man was a theologian, the most brilliant theologian that ever lived. A brilliant administrator, a war strategist. If any man was busy, David was busy. He was a man full of wisdom, full of troubles. He wrote about his troubles. He had enemies. If there's any challenge that anybody had, David had it. He had family issues, rebellious children. He was the one writing this. And what he had to say to us in that verse 2 is, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. As you see this morning, what is going to be your refuge this year? Many of us are strategizing as we sit here, and our refuge this year actually is going to be our jobs. Because that's where our mind is. If I ask many, what did you read about in the Bible this morning? We can't remember. Or most mornings. It's true, it happens to me as well. Whereas the Lord says, I will give to you your daily bread. So this year, if we dwell in God's secret place, he says, he will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my strength, my God. In him I will trust. And remember, he did not just, we read the Psalms as though there are some incantations that can work magic. No, David here is teaching us. You kids are, you're not kids. They said kids means the child of a goat. No, you're not. You children are God's children. This is a real life lesson. He says you are not going to have life as rough. If you are able to say to yourself, the Lord will be my fortress. He is my refuge. And today, he's the one that I will trust. At work, I will trust him. In every meeting, I will trust him. In every conversation, God will be my trust. I will not depend on my knowledge. I will not depend on my wisdom. Those who relied on their strength and wisdom yesterday, they are in the grave. They have a tombstone to signify or to commemorate all of their efforts in life. But those who trust in the Lord, that like the tree that is planted by the waters, rivers of waters. I just want us to pause and think about that verse before I move on to some topic. Because it's the key. You know, we Christians of our age, to be honest, if you ask the people outside, they think we are pathetic people. And we do look pathetic. Honestly. What did you say, Dr. Bowles? It is true. We just cover our pathetic states with spiritual speak. The people outside who devote themselves to carnal things look at the church and they know that our cares, our concerns, our pursuits are exactly the same as theirs. We just cover ours up with Christianity and religion. Whereas, what does the word of God say? The Lord Jesus says, this is not the kind of life that I mean for believers. When I talk about my kingdom, I do not mean somewhere that you just come, you get some dollars, and you go back home. Somewhere you pluck healing, and you go back home. Somewhere that you just get you get your spiritual fix for the week, and you go back, or you get your sermon for the week, and you go back, or someone lays hands on. No, no, no. He said, I meant it to be righteousness, joy, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Real Christianity is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In God's secret place, there's righteousness, there's peace, and joy. It doesn't take $1 million to have any of it. In fact, most of the people with $1 million in their account don't have either any of these things. If you will make up your mind that God alone will you serve, your reward will be righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Every time we say we want health, what we're actually looking for is peace. Right? Every time we say we want wealth or money, what we really want is peace. We are hoping that peradventure, in the abundance of money, we'll have peace. But like I keep saying, if you look around me, the more you have, the less peace you have. That's why Jesus did not come as a millionaire. He came as a shepherd boy. Christ was a paradox. Jesus could have come in any way he wanted. He came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, the foal of an ass. He came from glory. He came to prove to us that the peace he talks about is the peace that surpasses all human understanding. Not a peace when you log into your account and you finally know, I can buy anything I want. Someone was talking to me about Tim, the co-founder of Microsoft. Tim, what is his name? Someone, any techie here? Allen. Tim Allen. Tim Allen died with $28 million, billion dollars in his account. I could use that. $28 billion, no children, no nothing. Huh? No U-Haul to take it to heaven. He died without peace. I remember when what's his name? Apple. Steve Jobs died with several billions. If money could heal diseases, Steve Jobs would have bought that treatment. But the owner of time said it was time, and he had to leave. But the kingdom of God, the secret place of the Most High, only few people find it. In this place, you will find beggars. In this place, you will find poor people. In this place, you will find rich people. In this, all kinds of people will find it, but it's a secret and very exclusive place. I doubt you will find many pastors there, just given what we know about pastors today, because they don't have peace as well. Do they look like they have peace to you? No. I mean, you won't find a lot of pastors. Do you have peace, Barabumi?
I do.
Yeah. Good. Have come that you may have life, and you may have it more abundantly. The life that Jesus talks about is not the life that we chase. It's an inner, peaceful, wonderful life. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. It's a promise. It's guaranteed. It was written by a man who had known issues and problems in his life. New Covenant Church, today I'm not going to keep you. Do we understand? John chapter 15. I think about just all of the cycles that Christianity has been through. I think about, honestly, I pray a lot about my Christian brothers and sisters. And I say, Lord, bring down your glory. Exalt our horns like the horn of the unicorn. Lord, cover us with your glory again. Help us to have something substantive that we can give to the world. I think about revivals coming and revivals going. Nothing seems permanent in Christianity. The saints of the Lord are very afraid. We're afraid to face them. We're afraid of retirement. We're afraid of this. We're afraid of exactly. The Bible says, after these things do the Gentiles seek. Our focuses are everywhere. Say, Lord, help us to find a secret place. A place of quietness. A place that you cannot buy with money. A place, let the church be a place of refuge. Not a classist place. Where our glory are the glories of the world that fade away. The things of the world that do not last. John 15. Lord Jesus, let your voice be heard. The secret place of the Most High God means to dwell in Christ, our blessed Redeemer. The name that is despised by the world. But in heaven is the name above all names. Once we talked about here the revelation of Christ in the book of Revelations. The same man that we call Jesus by name. We don't call him, there's no title to Jesus. Our ministers, we have us call them bishops and apostles. But Jesus, we have him call him Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Just Jesus. Our Jesus, like he's our mate. Just Jesus. That was how humble he was. But this same Jesus in heaven, the Bible says he sits in the midst of the thrones. And around him are 24 elders. I think I've said this before in the church. And there are beasts around him with eyes all over them. The Bible says every time his name is mentioned, the 24 elders, those who reign in the heavenly places, they had golden crowns and they sat on thrones around the throne of the Most High. The Ancient of Days sat in the middle of them, the Lord God the Father. And every time the name of this Jesus, who is a friend, who has humbly come to us on a donkey, the foal of an ass, as a baby in a manger, as a carpenter boy. Jesus, every time his name is mentioned in heaven, the Bible says all of the rulers in heaven removed their crown and they got off their thrones and they fell before him and worshipped. Holy, holy, holy are you who died for us and washed us from our sins. To you be glory and honor and dominion forever. This same Jesus, and this is the word of the gospel, has stretched out his hands to all of us, if only we believe. The secret place of the Most High is in Christ our blessed Redeemer. Are we ashamed of him? The secret to knowing God is Jesus. Where are the believers who proudly talk about Jesus, walk for Jesus, follow after his laws? In John chapter 15, the Lord says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that they may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Therefore, abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me. Abide in me. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Are you a Christian and you feel very dry? What has happened? Remember how you used to feel when you first got born again? Were you feeling dry then? We walked away from the secret place of the Most High God. Instead of representing Jesus, we started representing IBM. Or whoever you work for. Or SAIC in my case now. We must repent and go back to not being ashamed to be the few people in the world that love Jesus and represent him. That is why we lost our peace. Abide in me. And let the economy abide in you. Let the government abide in you. Let prosperity abide in you. No, let my word abide in you. So when in churches we preach all kinds of things now, and then we don't have peace. Now you can't even, I understand that in some fellowships, they don't have the ushers take the money for the offering because they're afraid someone will steal it. Suddenly, thieves are bold to come to the church of God. Now they'll have to put it in the middle. Then you put it there and someone will be watching so that you don't take something out. That's why pastors now have bodyguards. Pastors used to have prayer chambers. Now they have offices and PAs. A pastor needs a bodyguard and a PA? Of course they will. Because now we invite thieves. We no longer abide in God's word. It never used to be like that. Christ says, abide in me and let my word abide in you. If anyone, verse 6, does not abide in me, he'll be cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. May we abide in Christ. It's time for the world to know that we belong to Jesus again. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul begging us, Christians, said, I beg you, dear brethren, that you render your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. I beg you, make a conscious effort that you will follow Jesus. Make a conscious effort that you will not avenge yourself this year. Make a conscious effort that you will embrace the full suffering of Jesus. And according to that Psalm 91, you will have peace. Make a conscious effort that you will not attend a single conference call this year without praying, without knowing that Jesus is your strength. Make a conscious effort that you will meditate upon his law day and night and be careful to do according as it is written in it, so that you may make your way prosperous and you may have good success. Make a conscious effort that you are going to elevate yourself above religion to being a disciple. Abide in Christ. Say, as you have received him in the beginning, so abide in him. No matter how painful it is, at times it will start from being very painful, but the joy of the Lord will soon flow in our hearts as we're determined to abide in Christ. The world is waiting for a different kind of Christianity. They are waiting. The Bible says the whole of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. It used to be like that in the days of revival. It used to be like that. Brabumi, Rashegun, some of you here may have witnessed revivals in the 70s in Nigeria. You probably didn't witness the latter-day revival that they were talking about towards the tail end. Are you sure? Because you're old enough to capture it. We remember the born-again revival in Nigeria. Remember the great spirit that fell upon the land. And trinkets, gold and silver, suddenly meant nothing to us. And we were not ashamed of the name of Jesus, proclaiming him. God is waiting. And as long as that is not our desire, God is revealing to us that the peace we want as Christians will not come to us. We must make the Most High our pursuit. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Then our righteousness will break forth. There will be miracles within the church. You won't have to fake it anymore. New Covenant Church will experience the power of God if 1, 2, 3, 4 of us will devote ourselves this year to seeking the face of the Lord. The Bible did tell us what to pursue: the kingdom of God and spiritual gifts. Do you believe that you can prophesy? You can speak with a new tongue? Do you believe? It's the promise of God. You can give interpretation of tongues. Those are lofty things that we should desire as a fellowship. So I don't know what's in our heart this morning as we continue with the new year. But I'm just challenging you that there are lofty things in life. There are things that at the end of your life, you will not regret it. Dwell in the secret place. Many things will try to pull us away from the secret place this year. The whole of the world system is designed to make us unspiritual. And Satan is laughing. Whereas Jesus has come to give us peace and life, and that life more abundantly. In James 1:27, which we're meditating on in our house this week, says that true religion is to visit the widows and the infirmities and the orphans in their infirmities and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We always remember the first part, but the second part is what we don't remember. And the second part is so important this year, brethren. We do the charity work. Well, even that, we are partial. But the second part, God is waiting for us to do the second part. True religion is to keep yourself what? Unspotted from the world. Though they may laugh at you, though they may ridicule you, that is the key to the kingdom of God. Christ said, if you deny me, I also will deny you. God is looking for people who will be exclusively his. He's not looking for visitors into his secret place. He's looking for people who will dwell in it, live in it, abide in it, permanently in it, and keep ourselves on. He said, friendship with the world is enmity with God. God is looking for friends that he can talk to, whisper into their ears. Another set of dynamics. That is why churches generally were powerless today. Not because God has not loved us. He loves us. But we are, kinomangwe, in English, what is omotiole farabale? We are restless. We are spiritually restless people. We say prayers, we do not pray. We do worship, we do not worship. We read the Bible, we do not really meditate on it. It does not speak to us, we read it. God wants us to change that. Let's behave towards the Father like, I always say this, which is how the Lord taught me. He said, look, son, act to me like I'm a real person. To most of us, it's not. Because if we really thought that God was real, many of the ways we're approaching, we wouldn't. If the Lord was real, if we said, praise the Lord, let's imagine you have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Ancient of Days, and you believe that you're in his presence, and they say, praise the Lord, will you sit down? If Trump was there, anywhere that Trump went, they would play Hail to the Chief. And when they're playing Hail to the Chief, everybody stood up. Because there's the majesty. So the Lord said, I will not come to you like he did to Moses. He came to him in quiet voice. He said, I'm not going to come with the pomp, with the noise and the music of the world. Because I want those who access me to access me by faith. Are we going to be those in the secret place that know that the Lord is here? So that we will not say, the Lord is here and I did not know it. As we sit today, there are millions of people who are discovering God. They may not be in one fellowship. We should be one of them. Let's act. Let us say our prayers this year like we are talking to a person. Let us do our worship this year like we are worshiping a person. God said in Malachi, he said, some of the way you give offerings, if you are offering these things to your kings, you won't do it that way. So when you offer your kings, you offer the best. When you offer me, you bring goats that has blind eyes and lambs that are lame. So can you offer these things to your king? It's the same sentiment that the Lord is expressing to us today. How can you church without checking on my word to see how I want you to church? That means it's not about me. It's about this grand program that you people are putting together. And the Lord is watching us. He's watching us build all of this temple. He's watching us put magnificent programs together. Yeah. Good. Good. He's watching us. Like he watched them put together the temple in Jerusalem, and the Lord was not in it, and they did not even know. But he says, come to my secret place. I'm a real person. If I'm a real person and I'm your God, then I want to speak to you. Don't rush away from my presence. I want to help you. I want to embolden you. I want you to develop a relationship with me. I want to speak to you. I want to feel, the way the Lord Jesus put it, he said, you bring me your burden. Take upon you my yoke. And you find rest for your soul. Every need we have is handled in scriptures. Don't worry about how you will eat or drink. Don't even worry about how you are going to pay the children's educational fee. That is worry for tomorrow. Said the Lord knows what we need before we so much as ask him. In trouble, he will be with us. In the storm, he will keep us. The scriptures are filled with promises from above. Like me, I pray there are people here who want to go higher with Christ this year, because God cannot be mocked. I want miracles. In fact, as I've been, unless we have miracles, I don't think we'll be able to reach certain people in our society. When I speak, I want the Lord to speak through me. He said, he that speaks must speak only as an oracle of God. I'm tired of praying and there's no effect. And thank God, I am the failure. Jesus is never a failure. Thank God he lives forevermore. I believe my Redeemer lives. I believe there's such a real thing. I've witnessed and I've seen the power of the Most High God. I know her church. I know for sure, I don't you. This church is going to be transformed. I know that. I know that. Because the Lord lives. Every family in this church, we know the peace of God that passes all human understanding. Because it's not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of the Most High God. I know you will testify to the glory of the Lord in this church. I know that. I don't know what you believe. I know that because he's alive. Because Jesus is alive. Let us go from the outer court into his secret place. Outside there's the bleating of goats. Outside there's the noise of the sacrifice. But let's go into the Holy of Holies. Put away every superfluity of naughtiness. Your Father has something to say about everything around you. Don't watch what he does not want you to watch this year. It takes a determination. God has things he's dealing with each of us. You know yours. One witness that the Holy Spirit tells me is, anyone here who is a child of God, you know what your Father has been telling you, which you have been postponing for years. This is the year to get the courage and do it. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in him. God's secret place. God's secret place. It's not a glamorous place. It's not a place that your friends will follow you to. A multitude does not enter the Holy of Holies. But are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to go higher in Christ this year? To render your body as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable, which is also your reasonable service to the Lord. And not being conformed to the world. That means you don't think the way the world thinks. You don't put your trust in the things the world puts its trust. But rather, being transformed, conformed. Today in churches, we are not really interested in the transformation of souls. As long as they give their tithes and offerings. And as long as we can do service and we have numerical, people are sitting and they are growing in number. But the quality of faith is still suspect. Whereas Paul says we should rather be transformed by the renewing of our minds. What does that mean? Let your mind be renewed. The way you think, the things you used to do continually, as you dwell in the presence of the Lord, let it change. The things I used to do, I do them no more. Yes, the things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. There's a great change since I'm born again. Great change since I'm born again. There's a great change since I'm born again. There's a great change since I'm born again. There's a great change since I'm born again. Let your bodies. It's going to be painful. There's no sacrifice. You don't see them taking. I remember when I used to be really naughty in college. You know, we'll go for our midnight rendezvous and we'll be coming back at night. And then we'll just see at night on campus then. Just see a sacrifice. You just see, it happens so many times, especially in the professors' lodges and I don't know what politics makes them. You just see sacrifice. You see maybe the thigh of a chicken. You see, at times we see rats. You see all kinds of things in the middle of the road. And then, of course, you are driving, so you are wondering if you step in with the some assault. So no matter how drunk you are, you find a way to, I don't know, even drunk people respect sacrifices when they see sacrifices. That little chicken and that rat, that turkey that you killed, that sacrifice for turkey, did not go to the altar smiling and singing. It's happy Thanksgiving to you. It's not happy Thanksgiving for the turkey. There's no such thing as a happy sacrifice. The living sacrifice for Jesus is not going to be a happy sacrifice. When the Lord says, make your body a living sacrifice, it's not going to be a happy experience. There's a reason it's called, it's not saying make yourself a gift. Gift you take out of what you have and you give. Sacrifice. What the Lord is asking for you is a little bit bigger than what you are asking or what you are hearing this morning. Saying, I want you, the whole of you. I want you to be my representative in D.C., in Georgetown. I'll be, where's Toby? George Washington. In George Washington, go and represent me. In Stanford, if we choose Stanford finally, go and represent me. If I give you scholarship in Stanford, the first thing you must do is to join a Christian group. When you get to Duke, the first thing you must do is to join the Christian group. Because you are going to be God's children. Living sacrifices. Your admission is a sacrifice. If not, you'll be betraying your maker. Your promotion at work is a living sacrifice. We are God's candles. God's dead. We are dead to self. We are sacrificed for Jesus everywhere we go. So when we hold a very good revival service and a good sermon and the singing is good and we go, oh, the Lord must be pleased. He's not. When someone expects you to be dead and all you are giving him is, can you eat a chicken that's still fluttering on your bone, on your plate? You go to a restaurant, like those restaurants, what do we call them? Where they bring live things and roast it in front of you. Yeah, you know they kill fish, right? You know, and they're killing. Imagine someone is killing fish. The fish is half dead. They take it to the kitchen and they come back and it's still fluttering on the plate. God wants us to be sacrifices. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Do not be conformed to the world. There's a battle line drawn between Jesus and the world. We straddle the middle, and we try to make it make sense. But honestly, we have tried to make it make sense of it for a long time. Is it working? You're either all in or you're not in. The unfortunate thing is that until Judgment Day, many of us will not find out. May we find out before Judgment Day. Living sacrifice. I want you to go home thinking, Romans 12:1, living sacrifice unto the Lord. Say to yourself, God does not accept anything less than a living sacrifice. Anything that is not conformed to the world. You declare by baptism that I now belong to Jesus Christ. Declare to your family, declare to your friends, declare to your past friends that I belong to Jesus. Is there any revival song that says that? Sister Wura, any revival song that says I belong to Jesus? I belong to Jesus. And those born again people will start dancing. Inu mi dun pe mo je ti Jesu. Living sacrifice, no straddling the middle. When we do this, then miracles will break forth. The Lord says miracles do not break forth by praying for it. It does not break forth by fasting and praying. Or at times we force his hand and it breaks forth, but there's not been any revival in the history. I'm reading that now, so I know. I'm reading the history of Christianity in Nigeria now. The history of revival from the 1930-something up until date in Nigeria right now. And there has never been a revival that has been sustained in Nigeria. We had the Pentecostal revival. We had the faith revival at some point. We had the Lateran revival at some point. None of them, all of them, fizzled out. We had the Obadare revivals fizzled out after a while. In fact, we had the Redeem, Baba Adeboye revival. It's just one big organization now. But you better believe that started with fire and revival. The Deep Alive revival, the Scriptures Union revival in Nigeria. We had it all. Even Apostolic, we had the IVCU, the Christian Student Fellowship revival. In the 70s, early 70s, and I all fizzled out. Because the Christians visited with God, and then we left. We started by faith, and then we continued with structure and methodology instead of abiding in the Word of God. Brethren, the Word of God to us is, I'm not playing. Render your bodies as a living sacrifice. Whether you eat or you drink, determine that whatever you do, I am worthy of the glory, says the Lord. I made the heavens and the earth. My majesty is known throughout the earth. I laid the earth on its foundation. I stretched the heavens as a tent before you. I made all the animals that crawl in the belly of the ocean, all the birds that sing on the trees. I'm in the depths of the Amazon. I'm on the top of the mountain. I'm the God in the valley as well. I'm the Lord who is like unto me. I'm awesome in all my ways. I know all secrets. I made all humans. I'm worthy of your praise. Who is like unto the Lord? He's awesome in holiness and fearful in praises, doing wonders. Hallelujah. Brethren, though the world may not follow, will you follow Jesus? I pray you will not believe anything less than what Jesus wants you to believe in Jesus' name. Amen. While others are satisfied with the outer court, I pray that you will want to push to the inner court. For what does it profit a man after all if he were to gain the entire world and lose his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? May the Lord help me and help you. I want to see Jesus, brethren. I got born again in my second to the final year in college. And the Lord gave me a lot of revelations. The first revelation he gave me is to be very careful about false religion. He told me that his religion is not in form and practice. It's not in colors and practices. It's of the heart. Say, my son, if you will love me with your heart, if you will be real with me, then I also will be real with you. Then he began to reveal his son, Jesus Christ, to me. The meek and mild. As I looked and I heard sermons and doctrines, he allowed me to compare it with the life of Jesus. Anyone that does not directly connect or reconcile, he taught me to reject. Follow Jesus. What Jesus will not do, don't do it. Where he will not go, don't go. What he does not say, don't believe. The Lord is our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He said, all the ones that came after and before me, they are hirelings. They are paid workers. They do not care for you. The true shepherd lays his life down for the flock. May the Lord bless us. Amen. And keep us. He that dwells in the secret place, there are no conditions, no subconditions. You must make up your mind that you are going to be in God's secret place. And your bodies will be a living sacrifice that is acceptable to the Lord. And then we will see miracles, brethren, because God cannot lie. He will pour out the gift of the Holy Spirit upon us. We'll see people believe, and we'll see the goodness of the Most High God. Let us pray. If you're in this place this morning, and the word of God this morning has touched you, I don't want to close this sermon without giving to you a moment, an opportunity for introspection. Because I've since learned that when the word of God goes out, there's a bird out there that picks it. If you are humble with yourself enough to know that, look, I'm not really experiencing the power of God as I should. If the Holy Spirit is telling you in your heart that what we just heard is really true. Hey, God, help me. If your heart is beating within you, and you're saying to yourself this morning, I don't want this year to be like last year. I want to see Jesus. I don't want to be endlessly debating faith with my friends. I want the power of the gospel to come upon them. If, like we said in the course of the sermon, God has been speaking to you about things and you just do not find the courage to do it, I just like you to take the next couple of minutes and just say a very simple prayer. Say, help me, Lord. Confess your sins. Say, I'm dry, Lord. I need a cistern of living water. I don't want to be part of the multitude. I don't want to be those who identify themselves as Christians, but there's nothing. And the world mocks them because they know they have no power. Though the world may speak evil of me, I want them to behold your work in my life and glorify you. Lord, say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Help me. I'm not where I should be. If your trumpet were to sound, I'm not sure I'm ready. So I want to be known to be a Jesus person. I don't want to be known to be a brilliant IT consultant. All these things that die with the world. I don't want to be merely known to be a straight A student. Millions of straight A students have died there in the grave. I don't want to be merely known to be the Nigerian that has achieved the most in America. Aimoye. You will die, and the memories will die with you. Lord, I want to be known in heaven. I want my life to be significant. I want my trophy when I meet Jesus to be a soul that can say, I see the glory of the Lord in you, and you have procured for me eternal life through Jesus. Oh, thank you, brother. I want to be part of the troop that marches for Jesus Christ. I want to be mocked by the world. Father, grant me courage. I've fallen short of your expectation for me. I've spent my time praying for trinkets. Pray. Repent. Repent. If there are people here that God has once used you that way and he no longer does, say, Lord, I remember. I remember. I don't want to sugarcoat it. This is backsliding. There is no other name for it. Please return me to the simplicity of the faith, Lord. I have believed a lie that it's no longer possible to walk with Jesus. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I have believed a lie that there are no more miracles. Please forgive me. Whatever you are doing in my generation, use me. I'm here, Lord. Help me to serve you in secret, not just that people may know. Pray. I'm making up my mind, Lord, to follow you. Help me. Forgive me my sins. Blot out my transgression. Purge me and I'll be white as snow. Wash me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Cause me to know joy and gladness that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Create in me a new heart. Renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Jesus said on that day, there ain't going to be a multitude. said the road that leads to eternity is a really rough road. It's rough territory. The gate is not painted. It's not on it. It's crooked. It's a few people, only those in the secret place find it. It's a few people. Lord, say, Lord, I want to be part of the few. Thank God for the privilege to hear words that we no longer hear today. There's nothing required of you here, brethren, except a very contrite heart. In Psalm 40, verse 6, 5, it says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but my ears have you opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you have not required. Here, come, O Lord, according as it is written in me, in the books, to do thy will, O Lord. My ears. God does not expect us to do anything fantastic, but first to just say, Lord, you are right, and I need you. And let's see where the Lord will lead us from there. Father, thank you. Thank you. You have given to us America. Already we're building homes. Our children are comfortable. Father, we're of the higher percentile in this country. This is your doing. It's marvelous in our sight. You're helping us to do a lot of things already. But Lord, all around us, our nation is dying. There's corruption, homosexuality, abortion, lies. There are wars and rumors of wars. At our workplaces, righteousness is choked. The public sphere, Lord, is filled with iniquity, noisome pestilence, Lord. Definitely the gospel is not prospering in this land. There are lies in the church, lies outside. Hatred, self-seeking, ego, Lord. Oh, Father, cause the gospel to triumph again. Use us as prophets. Let there be a real church where Jesus is glorified. Help us, Lord, that we are not just subsisting, but we are thriving in righteousness. That in our thriving, the world and our community may receive the light of the glory of Jesus. Do a new thing, Father. There are no such things, brethren, as big men in Christ. Because big men in Jesus. God owes nobody a favor. All these big emoji, they title them, there's no such thing as big emoji. You're only as big in Christ as you are humble before Christ. The biggest man, the only big man is Jesus himself, from whom all blessings flow. Oh, Father, we're little enough that you may bless us. Lord, we're not wise. Make us wise. Use us. I'm devising an exercise for my client now called a clean slate exercise. You know, we're working on some transformation within the firm. And we had tried different methods, and we just saw that because of the culture, they were pretty resistant to change. So we devised an exercise that says, look, rather than going there and telling people what to do, we're going to say, guys, to all of our delivery partners, all of the organizations within the IRS, here's a clean slate. If you were going to do things better, what will you do differently? And have them create their own processes and strategies. I think we need to do that before the Lord. Lord, we have tried so many things. We have tried fasting, praying. Here's a clean slate. Write on it, Father. Write from scratch, like I just got born again. Father, please write on the clean slate of our hearts. Give us the courage to start afresh. Baratunde once said to me when I called him about learning the piano, he said, look, you have to get a teacher. He said, because if you are teaching yourself, you are going to develop very bad habits. He said, I did. And now I'm having to correct. And it's just in the way. He said, postures and many bad habits. He said, get the right teacher. Father, we've developed a lot of bad theological habits. Help us. Give us the courage to relearn, to go back to the things that gave us joy. Blessed be your name, Lord. Father, this year, in this church, Let there be zeal at our prayer meetings. Passion every Sunday. I pray that every Sunday will be an experience of the Holy Ghost. Give every household the courage to seek you. Remove fear from our hearts, Lord. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Help us to reject bad music, bad movies, evil communication that corrupts good morals. Help us to reject promotions that withdraw us from Jesus. Help us to be bold. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sorry for keeping you longer than usual.